helpless man, blind from birth, and the only one who saw his worth didn't pass him by. He heard his cry. He rubbed his eyes with a handful of clay. Then he said, go and wash in the pool today. And that blind man knew that's what he had to do.
You today, but I feel good in my soul. I'm just one of those guys that every year I look towards the coming year with great anticipation. I'm so excited about Jesus, about the lost, coming to him, miracles, signs, wonders, the kingdom of God being advanced, Jesus being high and lifted up and being glorified in 2022. There just is no telling what God is going to do in 2022. It could be the year that Jesus comes back for the church of the living God. It could be the year. Stretch your hands toward our sister right now. Heavenly Father, you know the need. There is nothing that's too hard for you. You're the healer of all manner of sickness and disease. I speak life. Lord, I'm asking you to move by your Spirit right now. All doubt and unbelief, let it be removed from this life. We're believing, God. We're standing on the Word of God that cannot fail. We speak life in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. Speak life in the name of Jesus. We speak life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There's nothing that you cannot do, God. In your precious name, in Jesus' name, let it be done. Let it be done. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. You got to call those things that are not as though they are. You've got to stand on His Word. Doesn't matter what the circumstances look like, God's still God. I said, it doesn't matter what the circumstances look like, God's still God. But Brother Matt, it's getting progressively worse. It doesn't matter if it's getting progressively worse. God can change it on a dime. Sometimes the darkest hours means dawn is just in sight. Praise the Lord. I look with great anticipation for 2022. I believe it very possibly could be the year that Jesus comes back for His church. So I'm going to just tell you, young people, I remember whenever back in the early 80s, whenever my Sunday school teacher would say, hey, Jesus is probably going to come this year. And I'm thinking, and I'm not going to get married? Really? Hey, this could be the year. Brother Darren Smith sent me an article from one of the news outlets saying that the microchip, it's already out. It's already been, people have the microchip in their right hand. And they have it embedded into different parts of their body right now. But the microchip, I know Brother Mark Hackbar sent me an article on it, and also Brother Darren Smith. But this microchip now, they say, this article said it can, you scan it and it's going to say whether or not you've got the vaccine. Wow. I'm telling you, it could happen at any moment. I'm talking about the rapture of the church could happen at any moment. We don't have to just be looking for signs. The signs have been here and they're here right now. Amen. This time we're going to dismiss all of our children at Children's Church. I wanted those young people to hear that. You may be able to get out of here, graduate high school, but you may not. Jesus may come first. You got to live every day like He's going to come that day. Who's the ones that's going to make the rapture of the church, Brother Matt? The ones that are ready, as if He's coming back at any moment. Here's how you know when you're ready for the rapture, you're looking for Him every moment. And when you're looking for Him, you're going to live like He's coming back that day. That is the answer. Brother Matt, well, will I have time? No, no, you won't have time. If the goodman of the house, Jesus said in Matthew 24, would have known what hour the thief was going to come and break in his house, he'd have stayed up, he'd have watched, he'd have been ready, and he'd have not suffered his house to be broken up. We've got to be prepared as if He's coming back at any moment. That's the people who are going to make the rapture of the church. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 17. Again, I feel so good in my soul about 2022. If you need to change anything, you can change it in February, March, April, May, June. You can change it at any time. But January just seems like a good time to place a good change in your life. If you need to change anything, it takes 21 days to make a habit. If you're not praying and reading your Bible every day, first thing in the morning time, I challenge you. 15 minutes in prayer, 15 minutes in the Word of God. If you can't do that, then you might as well just go ahead and just, well, I wasn't going to say give up because I don't believe anybody should give up. But you need to spend some time in the Word of God in prayer and let it increase from there. Brother Matt, it's so hard. No, it is not. It seems like it's hard, but you can start in that starting place. Brother Matt, I'm just so busy. Well, you're too busy. Let go of some things. We need to be ready. We need to be abiding in Him. Jeremiah chapter number 17 and verse number 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Let us pray. Father, we thank You this morning for what we feel in this sanctuary. Lord, we're excited about 2022. We're excited about the signs of the times which are everywhere. Lord, we know that Your coming is at the very door. And we want the process of sanctification to take its perfect work and have its perfect work in our hearts and lives. We want to become like You, Jesus. Every day we want to be less of ourselves, more of You. We want to decrease that Christ may increase. I'm asking You, Lord, let the Word of God have free course this morning. I pray that it would prick and penetrate every heart. Do Your perfect work and Your perfect way. And we ask You in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. I'm going to preach to you this morning on the thought, are your immunities working for the deception infection? Are your immunities working for the deception infection? You know, there's been much controversy about COVID-19. I mean, everybody has an opinion. Should you just allow your natural immunities to work, or should you get the vaccination? Should you wear a mask, or should you just allow the herd immunity to take place? Well, we all have our different opinions on those things, but obviously it's a personal choice. But the main thing is we need to be immune somehow or another to sickness, and however you need to get that immunity, whether it's your natural immunities or the vaccine, whatever you got to do. But I will say this, that Israel conducted a study that says natural immunities are 13 times better than the vaccination. So I'm just going to give you that information and you do whatever you want with it. Either way, having a defense against sickness is the main goal. Can I get a witness in this house? Having a defense, having an immunity. When we have immunity, we are able to resist a particular disease. Oh, listen, I'm not an infectious disease expert, but if you will stay healthy, if you'll keep your body healthy and your immune system up, once you get the flu, usually it's several years before you get the flu again. It's just that way. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. God made this immune system. And again, I don't know all the details of how it works. I just know it works. God knows about it. And God has given us a natural immunity. But this morning, I'm not preaching about an infection, about COVID-19 or the flu or any other kind of infectious disease. But I'm going to preach to you about a disease that's far worse than any disease that can affect the natural body. What is that disease? It is the deception infection. And we must build up our immune system spiritually to combat this awful disease. Deceiving, deceived, or being deceived, the act of causing someone to accept truth or valid, or truth as valid, what is false or invalid. Let me say it again. To be deceived. The act of causing someone to accept as truth or valid what is false or invalid. One of the most sobering scriptures in all the Word of God is Proverbs chapter 14 and 12. Here's what it says. There is a way that seems right to man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. It's sobering to me. It's alarming to me. Why is that? Because men would never go down a path that was a path to death, oftentimes, most of the time they won't do that unless it seemed to be right. Men does that which is right in their own mind, their own eyes. But let me tell you something. There is only one way that's right. It is the straight and the narrow. It's the Bible way. It doesn't matter what man says. It doesn't matter what denomination says. What all that matters is what thus saith the Lord Almighty God, Jehovah of Israel. The Bible is right. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Be very careful what you think's right and what you think looks good. If it didn't look good, if it wasn't appealing, if it wasn't something that was very tempting, man would never go down that path. What we got to do is understand that deception infection. Once it gets a hold of you, you don't even know it's a hold of you. Deception is a deceitful sin. Because most people that are deceived don't even know they're deceived. That is the tragedy of this disease, this infectious spiritual disease. Once you get it and once you're infected by it, you do not know you're infected by the deception infection. It seems right. This way seems right. It seems right to believe this and to walk in this and to go this direction in life. It just seems right. And if it feels good, why can't I do it? I'm going to repeat it again. Proverbs 14 and 12. There is a way that seems right, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. You know, I can lie to you and it's a terrible thing. Right? It's a bad thing when someone lies to you. Nobody likes to be lied to. But it's even worse whenever I lie to myself. Whenever I lie to myself, that's the worst because I believe a lie. I believe, listen, the worst thing you can do is come under this delusion that something is real when it's false or vice versa. Self-deception is the worst kind of deception. I have seen people who dress a certain way. They dress very immodest, but they don't even have the body to dress immodest. And my first thought is somebody lied to that individual. Or they have lied to themselves. Amen. They're wearing five sizes too small. I've seen grown men in their 50s wearing these tight shirts. Amen. I'm going to tell you, they don't need to be wearing some tight shirts. Amen. Listen, somebody's lied to them. You know, everybody's got a different, I'll just touch on this for a moment. Everybody's got a different definition of modesty. Let me tell you something. If you have come out of legalism, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Christians still dress modest. We still are separated from the world. I'm not saying we have one certain kind of standard for everybody, but Christians are different from this world. We're to cover up. We're to look different, act different, talk different. We're not to go to the places that they go to or to think like they think or to watch what they watch. He still said, come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be unto me sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Amen. I still believe that we're to be different, set apart. Listen to me. Oftentimes I've been shown videos of people who, listen, I'm not talking about making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. We have some tremendous talent in this church. People who can sing like, I mean, unbelievable singers. I'm not talking about people that are not as good as other people. I'm talking about people who show me stuff on Facebook. I mean, people can't sing, and they are so proud about their ability to sing. And I'm thinking, man, somebody has lied to them, or they have lied to themselves. They put it out there for everybody to see. Amen. I still remember whenever I was in the fifth grade. I mean, I thought that I could sing the house down. And really what it sounded like was somebody who was dying and having their leg amputated without anesthetic. I remember I tried out for the choir in the fifth grade. I'm thinking to myself, man, I am going to make it. I feel sorry for the ones. There was only a certain group of people who could make the choir. And I was feeling sorry for those guys who couldn't make it. Whenever I tried out for the choir in the fifth grade, Pedal, Mississippi, I still remember going running along with the other students to look to see who made the choir. I wasn't on there. Man, my bubble bursted. I'm telling you, I thought that I could sing. I had lied to myself. Listen, we're like that in a lot of areas of our lives. We will lie to ourselves, self-deception. Let me say this before I go any further. Christianity is all about being sanctified. It is a constant growing. Yes, in 1996, whenever the blood of Jesus touched me, I was saved and ready for heaven. Aren't you glad for the blood? Aren't you glad for the mercy of God? But the work of sanctification is an ever-working progress. He constantly works on me. He's changing me. He's dealing with little things in my life. Where do I get in trouble? When God deals with me specifically, but I say, no, thank you, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm going to tell you, that's a rebellious child that'll separate yourself by willful disobedience. But God's always working on me, and he's always working on you. And God will use things, people, circumstances, the Word, and the Spirit to reveal little things in our life that need to change. I'm telling you, the deception infection is a terrible disease. We oftentimes see ourselves in the lens of our experiences, beliefs, and perspective. But it's not accurate. Let me say it again. We oftentimes see ourselves through the lens of our experiences, beliefs, and perspective. It's not accurate. Listen, you say, well, I know my heart. Oh, I know my heart. The Bible says you don't know your heart. I don't know my heart. You don't know yours. Yes, you think certain thoughts and you conjure up plans and ideas. But Jeremiah, our text says, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? You don't even know your own heart. That's why the Bible is very clear that we are, and Proverbs also says, to guard or to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What does that mean? That means guard yourself from influences. Guard yourself from things, ideas, circumstances, the wrong place, the wrong time, and the wrong people. I don't want that to contaminate me, because that heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Things like to get in there, and once it gets on inside the heart, it will bring you to a different location. It'll cause you to do different things. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I don't know my heart, and you don't know yours. So what do we have to do? We need more than ever before to allow our spiritual immunity to get built up. No matter how objective we hope to be, our viewpoint is always distorted to sometimes a very large degree. Here's the challenge. The longer we view ourselves through a distorted lens, the more likely we are to believe a distorted truth. Do you hear me? The more often we view ourselves through a distorted lens, the more likely we are to believe a distorted truth. The longer we lie to ourselves, I'm okay, it's not an issue. No, I'm not that way. Come on, church, you know what I'm talking about. I've been guilty and so have you. Listen, the longer we do that, we can come into a major delusion. I'm not, I'm okay. No, I'm not. People don't view me that way. No, I'm not evil with pride. No, I don't have an issue in this area. Oh, yes, you do. And I'm going to help you today by the help of the Holy Ghost. The sooner that we see the truth of God's Word and come to the realization, I am nobody without him. I can do nothing without him. I am an unholy, filthy wretch without the blood of God's holy Son applied to my life. And I am capable of doing wicked things. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? That is the strength of self-deception. The more we look through the distorted lens, the longer we lie to ourselves, deceive ourselves, or remain in denial about the truth, the more likely we are to base our decisions and actions on a false belief system. You don't want to go there. You don't want to have a false belief system, because that's when you're in trouble. Whenever you have lied to yourself and you will not face the truth, you are in trouble. It's going to take the Holy Ghost to remove those spiritual scales from your eyes. The longer we say, no, it's not the situation. This is not accurate. Listen to me today. This is an infection that has infected much of the church world throughout the land. It's easy to think of a few people who fall into this category. But chances are that in your mind, you're not one of them. No, not us. I'm not deceived. We don't know what we don't know about ourselves, and we often don't want to know. We get defensive when anyone brings up our shortcomings. If you're a defensive person, a family member, a spouse, a friend is trying to help you, and you think they're trying to attack you. They're trying to work a situation out with you, but you're always getting defensive, and you're making statements like this. Why are you always judging me? Why are you always criticizing me? Why are you always trying to find out something wrong with me? I understand there is a hyper situation where it can get into the negative or to the wrong whenever they're constantly speaking death, and they mean no positive from this, but I can tell you, people who love you, they know you, and I can tell you most of the time they're right. When my wife says something about me that's not good, when she says, hey, this is an issue, most of the time, Sister Tori is right. Do I always act very humble? No. Sometimes I get a little defensive. Believe it or not, she's a little angel, but sometimes she does too. We all get a little defensive whenever we don't like what people are saying. Who are you? Get the mold out of your own eye, the beam. Listen, don't you judge me. Now listen to me. Unless you're positioned where you will receive corrective criticism and understand people are not always trying to get you or to tear you down or to destroy your confidence. What we need to do is stop having confidence in our flesh, and when somebody deals with us, we won't be brought down so low. Listen, we are to have no confidence in the flesh anyway. We are to have our confidence in Almighty God. We all have problems. Matt Gregory has problems, and you have problems. What we must do is see clearly what the issue is and be humble to receive it and allow God to do His work. Since we see ourselves from only one perspective, it's incredibly difficult to get an accurate picture of ourselves. We don't see ourselves the way others see us, and especially the way God sees us, unless the Word of God, we are very sensitive to the Word, the Holy Ghost, that situation you're in, and other people. Why can't we see our self-generated toxins? Why is it so hard? Listen, David answers the question in Psalms 36:2. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. Notice how David puts this. He's basically saying so many people flatter themselves too much. And they build themselves up too much. Now listen, David also encouraged himself in the Lord. There's a difference between encouraging yourself in the Lord and flattering yourself. Because remember, David did not encourage himself in his own ability. Look what I've done. Look at all the things. Listen, if you begin to flatter yourself with all of your past accolades, you're in a heap of trouble, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, David says this. They flatter themselves too much. I'm a good person. I do this. And look at all these things that I have done. Well, praise the Lord. Look at all the things that you have done. Listen, we owe Jesus everything. I know God sees the good things, but what we need to do is give Him the glory, and we won't have our feelings hurt so much, and we can be positioned to change, because Christianity is all about change. I must change. I must change. Listen, thank God I'm changing. My wife even told me, you've changed in 1 year, in a good way. She said, in a good way. I'm not perfect, but I'm changing. There's things that I'm changing. Praise the Lord. Chances are good you know someone that needs to change. Perhaps you have a friend who gossips all the time. He says or she says boastfully, I don't gossip. I'm just telling you this so you can pray for them. You and everybody else knows they're a gossip. Or maybe you have a family member who is off the charts rude. We just got out of the Christmas holidays. Maybe you have come in contact with that rude family member and they can't see it. And you want to tell them. And they say, well, they have the attitude, I'm not trying to be offensive. I just tell it exactly the way it is. You ever had anybody say that? I just tell the truth. That's all it is. No, you're offensive and you're rude. Come on, somebody. Or maybe there's a very prideful friend that you don't know how to tell them because pride is destroying their relationships. It's destroying their effectiveness as a Christian. But they're too proud to receive the word that you have for them. You love them and you know it's going to destroy them. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you the deception infection is the most hideous disease out there. What we've got to do is be positioned. Lord, help me to stay humble. If I were to ask this congregation today, how many of you, I'm not asking you, how many of you battle with the deception infection? If I were to ask you to raise your hand, not very many people would raise their hand. There would be a few. But if I ask the question, how many of you know somebody who struggles with the deception infection, we all would raise our hands. Why is that? Because very few people believe they're self-deceived. I've heard a lot of things confessed, but very few times have I ever heard, Brother Matt, I'm deceived. Because when you're deceived, you don't know you're deceived. If I were to ask this congregation this, listen to me, we would all be in denial. We would say it this way. Those who don't know, don't know why they don't know. If they were deceived, chances are pretty good you don't know why you're deceived. Come on, I know it don't make a whole lot of sense, but it doesn't make a lot of sense being deceived. But if we never identify the lies, and if we never replace the lies with the truth, we'll forever crave a healthy life on a diet of poison and always wonder why we are sick. Why am I going through this? Why am I feeling this way? Why am I struggling in my relationship with God? Why can't I be faithful to the house of God? I'm okay. I can serve the Lord at the house. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. Yes, we have to obey the word of God. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I'll pray the Father and he'll send you another comforter. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh yes, don't you be deceived with the deception infection. It is a hideous disease. So how do we identify our self-told lies and replace them with truth? Through the process of ruthless, let me emphasize the word, ruthless examination, self-examination. Take an honest look at your unhealthy consumptions. Take an honest look at what you consume, the media you consume. How much media do you consume? Don't raise your hands, but if you have an Apple phone, you probably have it on Android, it tells you how much time you have spent on your phone, on certain categories. The sites that you surf, take an honest look. The people you spend the most time with. The first step to defeating an enemy is to recognize your opponent. Let me say that again. The first step to defeating an enemy is to recognize your opponent through your enemy. Though your enemy might be invisible, God can give you eyes to see. Let me warn you, though, the closer you get to uncovering a toxic killer in your life, the harder your enemy will fight to keep his grip. He's going to do whatever he's got to do to get that grip on you. And guess what? He gives you the ability, or he encourages denial as the first line of defense. Denial. Listen, we're skilled at taking responsibility for little and justifying much. Well, the only reason I do this is because of this. No, the only reason why Matt Gregory does this is because I'm operating in the flesh. I'm willfully sinning against God. Call it the way it really is. Call it exactly what it is. Listen, we love to justify. Well, the only reason why I act like that towards him is because he does this to me. Listen, you're responsible for what you do, and he and she is responsible for what they do. Be careful when you hear yourself think or utter these phrases. These phrases I'm about to tell you. I don't have a problem with this. Be careful. It's really no big deal. I'm not as bad as most people. I can quit anytime I want to. This is just the way I am. Oh, come on, somebody. Whenever you hear those phrases, you need to shiver, because this deception infection has already made its way into your car, your house, into your environment. Listen, again, those who are the most defensive are the most unknowingly guilty. If someone who loves you tries to show you a dangerous pattern in your life, you might be 100% convinced they are wrong, when the truth is, they're 100% correct. People who love you the most will be the most honest with you. I know good women love God who never use corrective criticism with their husbands. They're just, now this is rare. It's rare. But it's they never want to hurt his feelings. They all want to build him up because he has a low self-esteem. Listen, there's a balance to this thing, ladies and gentlemen. You can build them up at the same time, give them some corrective criticism. Whenever you always tell your kids how wonderful, how lovely, they never do anything wrong. And they listen, I'm going to tell you something. I deal with kids in all age brackets, inside, outside this church, the Christian school, the school of ministry. You got to tell the truth. Build them up. Love them. But tell the truth. Why do you tell the truth? The truth hurts. Listen, the truth may hurt a little bit, but when you know the truth will make you free. That's why we're in so much bondage, because we are deceived to our own weaknesses and problems. Peter is a good example of this. Remember whenever Jesus came to Peter and said, Peter, you're going to deny me. Peter said, Jesus, I will never deny you. In Matthew 26:33, Peter answered the Lord and he said, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Look at this. As Peter flattered himself, Peter was unaware of his own toxic self-deception. Though all forsake thee, I will never forsake you, Jesus. Come on, somebody. If someone has been trying to show you something about yourself and you continue to fight it, maybe it's time to acknowledge you might be deceived. If multiple people are having the same problem with you, if your kids are always getting in trouble, come on. The world's not against your kids. Even the unregenerate, for the most part, are not against your kids. The church of the living God certainly aren't against your kids. But they're always in trouble. People must be against them. No, there's a pattern. And if everybody has the same problem with your kids, or maybe with you, you're getting in trouble in the same way. You're getting in the same type of arguments. You feel the same way about everybody. Come on. You're always getting into it with somebody at the restaurant. You have a problem with every waiter. Hear me. If everybody's got a problem, you may be deceived. Your spouse might be convinced you have a problem with painkillers or some other prescription drug, but you say, I don't have a problem. You stand your ground and say, I don't have a problem. Oh, yeah, you probably have a problem. Someone might have told you that you're addicted to video games or social media, and you say, I don't have a problem. You probably have a problem. If your spouse says you're on Facebook too much, you're probably on Facebook too much. Well, I figure somebody would just be shouting right now. So how do we build up our immunity today? How do we prevent the deception infection? Since we can't change what we can't identify, ask God to show you any area of your life that may be harmful to you. We think the harm is somebody identifying it. You think that about me? Really? I can't believe you'd say that. I can't believe you'd get defensive. Because I've had people tell me my kids would never do that. Everybody's kids do that. I have people tell me my kids do not lie. Everybody's kids lie, including the Gregory kids. I'm not saying that they're in lying state right now, but they have lied multiple times. Really? You mean a preacher's kids lied? They have lied to me, and we've had to get a hold of them. Come on, they repented of it when they were just little bitty guys, you know. You know how it is. But listen to me. We don't like to hear those type of things. Kids know how. I'm just going to stay right here for a minute. Kids know how to get into their mom and dad's ear and tell how they're a victim and everybody's against them and their parents make a fool themselves. Come on, somebody. And then listen, you are deceived, and that child's not deceived. They know exactly what they're doing. My kids have tried it. They'd come home and they'd say, I can't believe it. Listen, they've told on some of the HTCA teachers and said, they're against me. I said, shut your mouth right now. I knew what was going on. I didn't just cut them off from telling me anything. I knew exactly what was going on. I know my kids. We teach them to honor those in authority. Well, they're picking on me all the time. I'm always getting in trouble. My kids have done that. Come on, somebody. And what did I do? I said, listen, you ain't going to get me involved in that mess. You're going to do right even if that teacher has a bad attitude, which our teachers don't have a bad attitude. We're talking about immunity here. We better get some immunity or we're going to become deceived. Since we can't change what we can't identify, oh God, show us what is wrong. Oh God, help us today. And I want to show you something. God will speak to you in four different ways when it comes to the deception infection. I'm going to tell you four things, simple things, that will bring immunity against the deception infection. God speaks, number one, by his word. This book right here is the infallible, inerrant, eternal word of the Most High God. God's word is true. Let every man be a liar, and let God's word be truth. Whenever you're trying to hear the voice of God, what is the first place and what is the first thing that you do? You go to the Word of God. Well, what if I hear a voice and it contradicts the Word? If you hear a voice and it contradicts this book right here, it's a voice of the devil himself. Because the Holy Ghost, the real Holy Ghost, and the Word are in unity. Jesus Christ is the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost only testifies of this Christ. Jesus only did that which he's seen his Father do, and the Holy Ghost only reveals that which he has seen the Son and speaks for the Son of the living God. What do we do? How do we keep ourselves from coming under the deception infection? We go to the Word of a living God. In this last hour, there is deception everywhere. Jesus said in the last day, Matthew chapter 24, if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. That means the ones that are at the highest level in spirituality. If it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. What happens? They get away from this right here. You can't depend on this preacher right here to give you all the book and to feed your spiritual soul. You better get to that book yourself. You got to feed. You got to eat the Word. Meditate on the Word of God. Let it go through your mind and your spirit. Let the Word of God change you. Walk in it. Do it. Stand on it. The Word of a living God is our number one defense against the deception infection. Come on, church. I'm telling you, if you'll get the Word inside of you, when Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, every single temptation, he said, it is written, Satan. It is written, Satan. It is written. That's the number one defense against the deception infection. Number two, God will speak to us, number one, through his word, and number two, he will speak through circumstances. Whenever something happens in your life, it's usually trials and tribulations that reveal stuff that's in that heart. When everything's going good, we can be good. But whenever you're going through a hard time, hard place, what's in there will come out. Whenever you're going through tests, in trials, circumstances, whenever you're pressured, when the baby ain't had enough sleep, that reveals that little child not getting that discipline. And whenever you and I have not been walking in His Word, the circumstances of life will pull out what's in there. And I can tell you something, those circumstances will reveal what you are. Don't lie about it and don't try to get away from it. Number three, He speaks by His Spirit. The Holy Ghost of God still talks to me. He reveals through His still small voice, and He'll speak to me things about my life. The Lord will convict me, and He'll say, "That's pride, Matt Gregory. Oh, God. That's pride. That's the original sin. That's what caused an angel to become a devil, was pride." He deals with me all the time. I know that I'm somewhat transparent, but I might as well be, because I am human and I still need a Savior. I am not perfect. And I'm going to tell you something, whenever He reveals it to me, I get it under the blood and repent very quickly. Come on, we all need a Savior. We all need Him to help us and to reveal the things in our life. Number four, He speaks through people. And I'm going to deal with this for a moment. I've dealt with this, but He speaks through people. As you seek God, listen carefully to what He might say through people around you. You mean to tell me that God can speak through people? Yes, He can. He can speak through people. He can speak through your child. He can speak through someone at work. He can speak to somebody who is not living right to deal with you. Well, if they're not living sanctified and holy, they better not come to me. That's why you're deceived. John Kilpatrick said that years ago, he said that people would write in about the Brownsville revival and they would criticize things about the revival. Brother John Kilpatrick said, we did not throw away those letters. He said, we listened to what they said. He said, we analyzed those complaints. He said, we could learn something. Maybe there was something that needed to be changed. Throughout the years, that there have been situations where people have spoke something into my life. I'm going to tell you, it hasn't always been positive. And not everybody who speaks in your life has your well-being in mind. And not everything is accurate. Sometimes it's death. Sometimes somebody can speak death to you. But listen to what he says in Proverbs 15 and 31. The ear that heareth reproof of life abideth among the wise. Hear it again. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuses instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. That's powerful. All throughout Proverbs, it deals with this. Can someone come to the piano? All throughout Proverbs, it deals with receiving correction and reproof. Solomon says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Rebuke not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. How many scorners do we have in the house that can't receive instruction from anybody, that thinks they're getting under, they think they're being attacked by everybody, and they think they're being judged? You could be a scorner in the house. God says to the wise man, don't even mess with that one. They'll hate you. But if you rebuke a wise man, he will love thee. He says this in Proverbs. Occasionally, God will send someone to communicate a strong and important message through a life-giving rebuke. Don't turn them away. It's helpful to know not all rebukes are life-giving. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And it depends on the individual. And I'm going to say this to you again. There are times that God will use the unregenerate to speak life into you that can bring conviction to you. He can use, listen, he used a donkey. He can use anything he wants to use, and he'll do whatever he has to do to get our attention. Listen, I'm trying to help us build up our immunity to the deception infection here. This is way worse than COVID-19, way worse than the flu, Way worse than Ebola. Because when you have it, you don't even know you have it. Can we stand? When I first got married, 1999, December 4th, 1999, I thought I was going to be the greatest husband in the state of Texas. I was deceived. It's amazing when you marry in the will of God, God will put you with somebody who's strong in the areas that you're weak in, and then you're strong in the areas that they're weak in, and you balance each other out and you help one another. But very few people would ever just speak into my life. But my wife would speak into my life, and she would tell me the truth, and sometimes it hurt. But it's helped me more than about anything that's ever anyone's ever done for me. Because I know that she loves me. She don't want to hurt me. But sometimes you can't help people until you hurt them a little bit. Brother Clendenin said, I can't help nobody until I wound them first. And he's saying the word of God's a sharp two-edged sword. It's going to cut. It's going to hurt a little bit. The times I have been helped the most and the times I've come out of this deception, infection, sickness where I stopped running spiritual fever and I couldn't get out of the house, so to speak, was whenever I said this is the issue. This is what I'm wrong in. This is the area I'm weak in. This is not right about me. I've got an issue. My wife told me years ago, whenever we first got married 22 years ago, she says, every time you go over your family's house, you're always getting into it with your sister. And instead of resenting those remarks, I looked at her and I said, I resemble them remarks. And Lori, besides my wife, Lori, my sister, my best friend. We get around our family and we just relax. And we're ourselves, aren't we? It's around our family, the ones we love the most, that we just kind of say whatever we want to say. Do whatever we want to do. And we end up hurting the ones we love the most. But we put our best face on at the church house. Come on. Deception, infection. James 1 and 22. James says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Don't deceive your own self. He says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If you're living with your boyfriend or girlfriend and you're having premarital sex, you're racing towards judgment. Maybe no one in this house, somebody watching by Facebook. Let me tell you something. Sex outside of marriage is a sin against God. If you die, you're going to hell. That's what the Bible says. That's not what this preacher says. That's what the Word of God says in multiple places in the New Testament. Under grace. If you're in willful sin, the Bible says you've got to turn and repent. Get real, get honest. If the number of Twitter followers or Facebook friends or likes on a certain post has become an idol to you, it's time to tear down that idol until you can manage it in a healthy fashion. I know people all the time that just turn off their Facebook. I just turned off for a little while. Praise the Lord. Conquering that flesh. Listen, if you're still consumed with things like worry, call it what it is. It's sin. I close. You can't change what you can't see. It's time to see the truth. You may be tempted to argue, but I'm not a bad person. May I say respectfully and lovingly, yes, you are. You are a bad person. And so am I. Jeremiah says the heart, the very core, the wellspring of life of the human being is deceitful and desperately wicked. No man can know the heart. Outside of Jesus, I am a wicked man. Now, I'm saved and I'm holy in the eyes of God, but I'm telling you, this flesh, this old carnal mind is evil. Our flesh, especially when we get deceived and we will not repent and we will not humble ourselves, it is ugly. Come on, somebody. We are all selfish, sinful people. The Bible tells us our hearts are deceitful above all things. Jesus, the only one who is good. Jesus is the remedy for the poison of this sickness. When you clearly identify what is slowly killing you, which is far more difficult than it sounds, you can take the toxic influences to Jesus for cleansing, purifying, and healing. When we identify the lies, we so readily tell ourselves His truth can make us free. Why? Because when you know the truth will make you free. I want to try to simplify this in closing, and it's this right here. You just need to tell yourself exactly what it is. Well, I don't want to think of myself like that. That's why you won't change. That's why you keep going. You keep telling yourself, no, I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. I don't have to do this. I love God. God knows my heart. Yeah, He does. He knows your heart. He knows it better than you do. He knows it better than Matt Gregory. He knows my heart. God knows my heart. I love Him. Keep His commandments. If you really love Him, be faithful in every area. Do you really love Him? Do whatever you got to do to get it right. Can we lift our hands to heaven? Father, I thank You. Lord, we want our immunity spiritually to be built up to the deception infection. Oh, God. Lord, we hear Your voice through Your word, through Your spirit, through circumstances, and through other people. Lord, let us not turn away other voices that want to speak into our life. If it's the preacher, if it's our children, if it's other people that we're associated with, Lord, help us to receive it with humility and to be positioned to change. Lord, it's all about dying to self and becoming more like You. Help us this morning at these altars. I'm going to give this altar call just a general altar call. What is the perfect will of God? We all want the perfect will of God. We all pray for the perfect will of God. Let me tell you what the perfect will of God is. Are you ready? The perfect will of God for your life is to become more like Jesus. I'm just seeking the perfect will of God. I understand God can have directions and things for your life, but here's the perfect will of God. At the beginning of 2022 in January, the perfect will of God is for you to become just like His Son Jesus. That's why Paul continuously, constantly said, I must die so that He can live. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. If our personality and we've got to get our ways, we're in trouble. It's about Him. Can we come and find a place to kneel at these altars? Let's get our immunities built up in 2022 for the deception infection. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to think something that's not right. I don't want to believe a lie, not just theologically, not just in my position, but I don't want to believe a lie about myself. Help us, Holy Ghost. Talk to the Master today.